Good Sunday morning to you. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Alive Ministries, which brings you this radio broadcast. Thank you for being with us this morning and listening to us. We've got some great comments back from the ministry here of preaching the Word, and we just appreciate that. Word is alive, and we're talking about the Word of God is alive. This morning we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, and I'll tell you right now, my Bible is to the point I've read Hebrews, and this chapter I'm about to read falls out of my Bible. Maybe you can hear that right now. It's when I open my Bible up, it wants to come out of there. I've been in this chapter many times, in this book many times, and it's just a great book, you know, to read and know, and it's got so much in it just in the few chapters that are there. This morning, the first verse I want to read is chapter 11 and verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. And I will tell you right now that this chapter is known as the faith chapter of the New Testament. The faith chapter of the New Testament, because it talks about faith. Now, I'm telling you, faith is something I think is in short supply these days, and we all need it, and we have to have it. And in verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then verse 2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Now I want to skip over now to chapter 12 and verse 1. And then we're going to talk about chapter 11. Now it says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen to that. How about that? All right, so we go back to chapter 11, and that's what chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 is talking about. It said we're compassed about, or these witnesses are all around us, is what it's saying. And he's talking about all these people that he talks about in chapter 11. He defines faith, first of all. He said it's the substance of things hoped for. Faith is real. Faith is a substance. It's not just something that we look at and say, "Oh yeah, that's great, it's in a book and we can see it," but it's something that is very real, folks. Faith is a substance. I don't know about you, but when I was in high school, we had some science classes, and we learned about those kind of things, substances and all this other stuff, and the molecular structure of different things. Well, I'm telling you, faith has a molecular structure. It has something to it, and it says it's the substance of things hoped for. Those things that we look forward to, that we know is going to happen. It's not something I hope it's going to come about. No, that's not what we're talking about. It's a hope that we say we know it's going to come about. We are hoping as a anticipation. We're looking forward to these things. What are these things? The promises of God. What He's told us is going to happen. Folks, we gotta get up to the point. We understand this, and we're excited about it. Are you excited about the Word of God this morning? And I'm getting excited, and I'm having to get this microphone a little further away from my face, I think. But I'm excited about the Word of God. I'm excited about what's happening right now. We can look around, and we can say, "Oh, it's all falling apart," but I'm telling you right now, we need to get excited about it. We need to get excited about the fact that all these things are coming into play. And we look at it and we say, "Well, we know that Jesus is coming back soon." You know what? I think He is, but I don't know. I was at a reunion not long ago, and my aunt said, "Well, I don't feel that way." And I said, "Well, that's all right, because I don't know either. All I know is one thing. We're closer today than we were yesterday. And that's all I know. And today is all I know I have. But I know that my faith is a substance of things that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back in the air and pulling us all out of here. I'm looking forward to that millennial reign. I'm looking forward to that final battle that we're going to go with Jesus, but He's going to do it all, and only His Word is going to take care of everything. That's all He has to do. He has to talk." Everybody thinks, "Oh, He's got to do this and that." Go back to Genesis, and it said, "And God said." That's all it takes. And you say, "Well, who was that?" That was Jesus. John tells us that He was there in the beginning. Everything was made by Him, and nothing was made without Him. Everything. Jesus Christ. It's the substance of things hoped for. And that's who I got my hope in Jesus Christ. I don't have my hope in any government. Folks, if you go back and you look at history, if you're a student in history, governments rise and fall. Some that look like they're going to last forever end up decaying. Why? Because they're done by man, not by God. Only God can make it good. Only God can do it right. And we messed that up in the Garden of Eden. God, evidence of things hoped for. Or the hope, substance. And what else? The evidence of things not seen. Folks, when we have our faith and we do that, we can see it and we can know there's evidence. I'm going to tell you right now, and I've told you people all throughout my ministry, you cannot talk me out of this. I've seen too much. I've seen too many lives changed through Jesus Christ that were never changed through anything else. People that were on a path and they tried everything. People with addiction that had gone to places after place after place. I had a cousin and I loved him dearly. We grew up together about the same age, and he got into drugs and great musician, and he was just wonderful at that. But he got into drugs, and he would go through rehab, and he would get out, and I would call him up and I'd say, "Hey buddy, how you doing?" And he said, I'm never going to do that again. I'm done with it. And then he'd go back to it. He'd get back into the scene and he'd go back to it. He told me one time, he said, "I want what you have." And I said, "What do you think I have that you want?" And he said, you got a wife and a child. You've got a family." And he said, "I want that." And I said, "Well, you can't have it." But I said, "You got to have Jesus Christ first." And he tried it without Jesus. He got him a wife and he got a family. And he got back into the drug scene and he lost everything that they had, including their house. And he got down to the end. He'd been in rehab after rehab. And his wife, I talked to her, and she said, I just can't do it anymore. I can't have drug dealers in here with my baby. I can't have this anymore. I love him, but I can't have my family going through this anymore." And I said, "Well, would you tell me when he gets out again? Would you let me know so I can call him?" And she said, "I'll do that." And so that one last time I called him, expecting to hear the same thing, expecting to hear, "Oh, I'll never do that again," but I heard something different on the other end of the line this time. And he said something like this. He said, "By the grace of God, I'm sober today." And I said, "What?" He said, "I can't do anything about yesterday. I can't do anything. I can't change anything about yesterday." And he said, "I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but," he said, "by the grace of God, thank God, I am sober today." And I said, "Buddy," I said, "man," and I said, "what has happened to you?" I said, "You sound so different." He said, "I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I got saved." And folks, it stuck. It stuck. And he went on, and he went on until the day of his death, and I miss him so, but I remember that conversation. So don't tell me that Jesus Christ doesn't change lives. I'm telling you right now, without Jesus Christ, you can go through every program, you can do all kinds of things, you can go through all kinds of counseling, and it's not going to do you any good until you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, until you become that new creature. And I'm not talking about just going down and saying something and saying, "Oh, well, I've got a new contract on life." No, that's not what it is. Jesus Christ has a contract for you, and He'll give you a contract on eternity. Not just life. Eternity. He will give you life. Faith is that substance of things hoped for. It's that evidence of those things not seen. And he talks about, he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now I'm not going to read this entire chapter, but I am going to tell you something right now. If you were making a list or I were making a list and we were going to put people that we thought were great, faithful people, the people that are in this chapter are not the people we would put in there. We wouldn't call these A-listers of faith. We wouldn't say, "Oh, these are the people I want at my party." If we knew all about them, we may look at it, and I'm telling you, I was raised up in church and Sunday school, and there were a lot of these people. I heard their names, but I never knew much about them except the good stuff. But I'm telling you right now, the Bible puts the bad stuff too. If we write an autobiography, we're not going to put the bad stuff about ourselves. We're not going to put the mistakes we've made and the things we didn't do right, are we? We're only going to put the good stuff. But these people, we've got liars in here. We've got adulterers in here. We've got murderers in here. We've got all kinds of people. We got people that didn't want to do what God told them to do. They tried to make excuses even though they were standing in front of a burning bush. And I'm talking about Moses. He didn't want to do it. Oh, I can't speak well. I can't do this well. And God would say, okay, I got your brother Aaron. He talks pretty good, man. We'll put him with you. He said, oh, but I got a warrant out for my arrest back there. He said, what am I going to do when I go up and I tell him this guy's told me to come and talk to you? He said, and by the way, I don't even know your name. And he said, I am that I am. Isn't that cool? And Jesus used that later on. He told the Pharisees, because they said, you're not even 50 years old and you say you've met Abraham. And he goes, I am. He is. Yeah, that's great. Every single time he had something for them. These people, though, why do they get in here? Why are they a great cloud of witnesses, as we read in chapter 12, that compasses us around, that we can look at and we should learn from? Why are they in here? Because they're human. Just like us. Look at us. We make mistakes, don't we? Don't we have problems? Folks, I had a guy one time, I was preaching one time, and I talked about that I mess up, and Paul messed up, and that I had things in my life that weren't right, you know, and I would do the wrong thing, and I would have to go to God and pray to Him. And I told Him, I said, and I told everyone, and I said, I've got a temper that I have to pray about all the time, you know, and I have to take it to God. And he hadn't been raised up in church, but he'd been around it a little bit, and he'd got saved, and had been a drug user, and he came to me after church, and he said, I never heard a preacher say that. And I said, what? He said, that he'd sinned. I said, well, then he's lying to you. He said, well, I never heard one say that they messed up like I do. And I said, then they're lying to you. Folks, the Bible tells us if we say that we have not sinned, we're lying. We're lying. That's what 1 John tells us there in chapter 1, because it tells us that we can take our sin to Jesus. And it says if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just, forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That is not a salvation prayer. It may get preached that way, but it's not. It's a prayer that we take to God and we tell Him, you know, hey, we've sinned. We've sinned as children of God. We're still in these sinful bodies. As a child of God, as yours, God, I've sinned against you. And we come to Him and we say, here it is. And we name it. Hey, if you're going to confess your sins, you know, you do need to name it. You need to tell Him, hey, I've sinned this way and this way and this way today. And here's what I know, God. And I know there's probably some stuff I can't even remember. We don't need to go in there and go, hey, God, forgive me of my sin, and I know you're going to do it, and we'll just talk about this later. No, that's not really confessing. That's just taking advantage of the situation, trying to tell God exactly what we want. No, we need to take it to Him and say, hey, I sinned. When David was approached by Nathan, he was approached with what he'd done. He had sinned with Bathsheba. He had seen her. He was supposed to go to war, and he didn't go to war. He saw her bathing over there, and I still think she was doing it. I think she knew where he was going to be, and she had her part in this too. So we just can't look at this and go, it was only David. But David didn't avert his eyes. He didn't turn around and say, oh, no, can't do that. No, he kept on looking, go, woo, baby. Man, look at that gal. And then he said, hey, does anybody know who that is? And they said, yeah, we know who that is. And he said, go tell her to come here. And she did. And he spent a night with her, and she got pregnant. But the bad thing was, he not only sinned by not being married with her, but she was married to someone else. In fact, he was a soldier named Uriah. And David sought to have him brought back, and so he tried to send him home and tell him, hey, go home. That way when the baby was born, he'd think, hey, you know, I can count backward there. That was the day I went home. David told me to go home, and that was the day, so I'm the daddy. That was what David was hoping for, but Uriah was a faithful and just man, and he wouldn't do that. He said, no, king, he said, I thank you and I love you, but I can't go home. He said, I got guys out there, my brothers, they're sleeping in the dirt. They're at war, you know, and they're in trouble and in harm's way. He said, I can't do it. I can't go home. David tried again. He got him real drunk. He thought, he'll go home this time. But even in a stupor, Uriah said, nope, can't do it. So David devised a plan. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get rid of this old boy. If he's dead, I got claims to his wife. And so he called his general and he said, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go up to the wall and then I want you to pull back, but I want Uriah to stay up the front. But here's a problem. There were other guys with him. If you read your Bible, it wasn't just Uriah, because he couldn't just do that. He couldn't just say, Uriah, go up there, because that would have really looked bad. No, they pulled back from these guys and several of them got killed and Uriah was one of them. And then David took his wife. Thought he had it all planned out. Thought he had it all good. Now this is a guy that's in this faith chapter. And then Nathan came to him. Gave him a little story about a man with everything and a man that didn't have but one thing. And David said, oh, that man that did the wrong, man, he ought to be put to death. And Nathan looked at him and he said, you're the man. And David knew what he was talking about. And here's where faith came in. David went to God. And David took it to God and he said, I have sinned against you. I need to repent. There were consequences to his sin, as there always are. There always is going to be consequences, but he took it to him. And he took it to him and he said, God, I've sinned against you. I need to bring this to you. So there we go. There's a guy there. He messed up. Have you ever messed up in your life? Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen somebody that messed up and you look down your nose at them? Oh, look at them. Look at them. Yeah, they claim to be a Christian. Oh, look at them. They came to church. I knew it'd never last. Why aren't you over there supporting them and helping them out and saying, hey, you can take this to God? Because we want to get on our high and mighty and we want to stomp everybody down. That's the church's business, isn't it? Stomping everybody down. No, it's not either, and you know it's not. But we do it. We come in our three-piece suit and we see somebody coming in a t-shirt and we say, oh, what are they doing here? Folks, you say, oh, that don't happen. I've lived it. I've been in it all my life. And I've seen it happen too many times. Folks, we need to go back to them and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Why don't you come up and sit next to me? Why don't you come here and sit next to me? Wouldn't that be a great thing if everybody in church jumped up when a visitor came in and go, hey, it's my turn to have them sit with me. You got the last guy. Come in here and sit with me. Shook their hand, told them how glad you were to see them. Even the next time they came in, say, hey, here, I got my Bible open up. Let's look at it together. Let's read what the preacher is talking about this morning. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? If people would do that, if people would actually do that. And well, let's go on. Abraham, he told Pharaoh that his wife was his sister because he didn't want to get in trouble. Pharaoh got mad at him about it. Why didn't you tell me that was your wife? A liar. A liar. Moses was a murderer as well. He murdered somebody thinking that that was the way he was going to help his people out. That didn't work and he had to take off. But he eventually did what God told him to do. Moses did what God told him to do. Abraham did what God told him to do. And here's another one. And this is a good one. Verse 31. It says, by faith. Now each one of these say by faith. And it gives a little story. And I encourage you to go back and read this entire chapter. Read this entire chapter. And I look at some of these stuff. And when I was a kid, my daddy had a Bible that had pictures in it. And I couldn't even read, but I would turn and I'd look at those pictures and I'd say, what's this? And they'd read the caption to me. And so they had one. It was the walls of Jericho coming down. And I remember that and I looked at it and I thought, wow, that's so good. And when I would go to Sunday school and they would try to teach me and I was a little hellion in Sunday school. I was a little boy and I was full of stuff, and every once in a while they'd have to tell me, do you want me to go get your daddy? No, ma'am. No, don't go get daddy. I'll be good for a little while. But they would teach me and they put stuff in my mind that has never left me, and we'd have that felt board and we'd put stuff up there, and I remember the Jericho thing and the walls came tumbling down and we'd sing the song. Verse 31 said, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies in peace." Because that verse before that said, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down." Those people that walked around the wall, they even get in here. They walked around it, and they walked around it, and they walked around it, and they walked around. They kept walking around it. On that seventh time, it said, "Everybody shout and blow the horns." And the walls came down. But this is by faith the harlot. Now, I want to tell you right now, harlot means prostitute. I was teaching a class one time, and I still laugh about this because there was an old boy, and he was kind of rough, but he was true. And I said, "Does everybody know what a harlot is?" And he yelled out, "It's a hooker." And I said, "Yes, it is, you know." Everybody's face turned red, you know. They didn't like that, but I'm telling you what, he was being truthful. She was a prostitute. She sold her body for money. And yet she's in chapter 11, the faith chapter, and it says, by faith, she did this. Folks, I'm telling you right now, God used her. If you read back the lineage of Jesus, God used her. She became part of that group and that tribe and that nation. And she is responsible for keeping the spies. She hid the spies. And when they came and looking for her, she said, "They've already gone. They've already gone." She let them down. And they went back to the people and said, yeah, we can take this place. We can take this place. So as we look at this thing, and I'm telling you, hey, this would not be our A-list. Nobody would look at this and go, "This is my A-list of people that with faith." But God wants you right now. You may look right now and you may be saying, "Well, you don't understand where I've been." I think I understand it way more than what you think. Maybe you don't understand where I've been. Maybe you don't understand what God brought me out of. Maybe you don't understand what God brings me out of every single day. But I'm telling you right now, I'm saved by the grace of God, the mercy upon that cross where He died on that cross, and I accepted that free gift of salvation. I'm not going to heaven because I'm preaching to you right now. I'm not going to heaven because I've been in the ministry over 20 years. I'm going to heaven because I accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven because I'm a born again child of God. I'm not going to heaven because I got my name on a certificate or my name on a church row. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ died on the cross and I accepted that free gift of salvation and I said, "Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned against you. Please, God, accept me into your family." And I became an heir and joined heirs with Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Do you know that for sure? John says, "I write these things that you may know." I know I'm going to heaven, not because of anything I've done or anything that I can do. I can't do anything to get my salvation, and I can't do anything to keep my salvation. I have to have faith every single day, and I have to take it to God and say, "Lord, here it is. I believe you. I love you. I want to be like you. Please help me." And when I mess up, I got to take it to Him and go, "Lord, I did it again." Paul said the same thing. He said, "I know the right thing." I'm going to paraphrase this because it's kind of confusing reading it. In Romans, he said, "I know the right thing and I end up not doing that." He said, "I know the wrong thing and somehow I end up doing that." Isn't that the way life is? You go, "Oh man, I messed again." I'm going to tell you a story before we get out of here, and I'm going to tell you about my youngest boy. Now, I was 40 years old when he was born, and so I'd learned a lot, but I hadn't learned a lot, too. And one day, I can't even remember what we'd been to or what had happened, but on the way back, I gave him one of those speeches. "When we get home, you have had it. I've had it with you, boy. I've had it with the way you act. I've had it with the way you acted there. You've embarrassed me." And we got home, and I knew I'd learned a little bit, and I understood I was too mad to do anything about it. So I sat in my recliner there, got comfortable, you know, and I was stewing, and I was mad, and he walked by me. I could see he walked by me, and he didn't look at me, but he cut his eyes over at me, and he walked past, and he walked into his room, and then he came back a little later, and he walked past me the other way, going back toward the kitchen, and he cut his eyes over to me. He was looking to see what I was going to do. He was looking to see because he'd been told something. I told him what judgment was. I told him that he was condemned. I told him he was in trouble. And he was cutting his eyes over and like, "What's Daddy going to do? How's he going to react?" And I dropped my head down because I was getting away from the anger, and I was looking at him, and I was seeing him walk by, and I dropped my eyes down, and I just kind of closed them for a minute, and then I opened them up, and I looked down between my legs, and I could see down there at the floor two little feet there. And he was standing right there looking at me. And I looked up, and he said, "Daddy," he said, "I don't know why, but sometimes I do the wrong thing." And I got tears welled up my eyes, and I said, "You go on now. I'm going to talk to you in a bit." And I just thought about it, and I prayed to God, and I said, "God, how many times have I come to you?" And said, "I don't know why, Daddy, but I do the wrong thing." I came to him that one time, and I said, "Lord, I've done the wrong thing. And there's no way I can make this right. I need to be part of you. I need to be part of that family," because right then I couldn't even call him Daddy. But I accepted that free gift of salvation, and it says, by accepting that free gift, he's my mediator, he's my intercessor, he's my God, he's my friend, he's my Savior. And I call him Daddy. And now I go to him, just like my little boy. And I say, "Daddy, I don't know why, but sometimes I do the wrong thing. By the way," I ended up telling my boy, I said, "you know, there are consequences to this. There will be. But I love you, and I always will. There's nothing going to make me quit loving you, but I'm upset with you right now. But there will be consequences." Folks, there's consequences to sin, but I forgave him, and God forgives you. God will forgive us if we'll take it to him by faith. I want to read you something here. It says, verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." If you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. It is impossible, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to seek him today. Number one, you've got to accept Christ as your Savior. You've got to accept that free gift. You've got to say, "Yes, Lord, I will accept that free gift." And it is a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right before that says the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you believe in your heart, if you confess Jesus and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's number one. Then you've got to live a life for Christ. You've got to have faith. You've got to continue to have faith. It's not just once. And if you're a child of God, you've got to have faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. Have you got that faith that you know the things that you hope for are going to happen? Because God said so. I'm not talking about hoping for $1 million. I'm talking about hoping for Jesus to come back, because you know he's going to. Do you have that faith that is evidence of things not seen? Are you evidence to people around you that there is something they don't have, that they need? We need to be that evidence of the things not seen. They can't see it, but they should be able to see it in us. They should be able to look at us. By faith, are you saved? By faith. It's not by anything else. It's by faith. Believing. And you continue on in faith. And when you mess up, you by faith, you take it to God, because you know what he said. You know that he said that he'll forgive you. You know that he said he'll cleanse you. And I'm not talking about just saying, "Oh, well, I'm going to get it erased." That's what the old chalkboards, man, they used to erase that stuff. But and you know what, though? But after a while, they'd get all white-looking, and they had to be clean. They had to be cleansed. Because when you just take it and you say, "Oh, yeah, I just wanted my slate cleaned a little bit," it still stays there. No, you need to take it and confess it to God and say, "I'm bringing it to you because I want to be cleansed, not just erased. I want to be cleansed because I don't want to do it again. I want to learn from it, Lord. I want to learn that I don't have it anymore." We need to be that evidence of things not seen. And let everybody know, "Hey, I'm saved by the grace of God and nothing else. It's not this three-piece suit or whatever you wear in there that you think makes you high and mighty. And when you go into church, it's the blood of Jesus Christ and Him alone." I hope that you've accepted that free gift of salvation this morning. You can get on your knees right now and tell God, "I want that free gift. I don't know a whole lot about it. I don't know a whole lot about the Bible, but I want that free gift. And please let us know. Let us know. Send me a card and say, I accepted Jesus Christ at P.O. Box 1152, Mammoth Spring. Let me know. Hey, I accepted Jesus Christ. Thank you for this radio ministry. Thank you for the fact that you preach the Word of God. Thank you for allowing me to be with you. My name's Charles Morgan. I'm with Word of the Live Ministry.